The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all who are joining us in person. Thank you for enduring the strangeness of our weather. And thank you for joining us online, all those who are joining us there. It is good to be together. And together we will experience God this morning. We will experience God in worship, in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. This is the third Sunday in Lent, and we continue our journey now as we prepare our hearts for the miracle that will be of Easter. So let us begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. Return to the Lord your God.
For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
And I would like you now to stand, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who writes the laws on our hearts, who draws all people together through Jesus.
Amen.
Held in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God,
we confess that we are caught in snares of sin and cannot break free.
We hoard resources
while our neighbors are hungry and cold.
We speak in ways that silence others.
We are silent when we should speak up.
We keep score in our hearts.
We let hurts grow into hatred.
For all these things,
for sins only you know,
forgive us.
Here
is a flood of grace. Out of the love for the whole world, God draws near to us, breaks every snare of sin, and washes away our wrongs, and restores the promise of life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God. And now we invite the children forward for a children's message. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. Was it pretty dicey on the drive down?
Yeah.
And snowing. Dicey and snowing. Well, thank you for being here. And today's story, Jesus goes into the temple and tries to restore it. And I'm trying to figure out a great way of explaining what's going on with that, so I hope this helps. But what do you think a temple is supposed to be? When we come to church and we come to holy places, what are we trying to do? We're trying to, yeah.
It's a place to worship.
Yeah, a place to worship, right? Because we think, we believe, we hope that God is meeting us here. So it's a place where God and we meet, right? A place where God and we meet. So that place of heaven and earth coming together. So I want to talk about coming together. What are some things that come together? Do rocks and water come together?
Yes.
Do they? Let's try this. We're going to try this. So here's the rock. And I got some water. So they came together in the sense that the water is now like submerged the rocks, but are they very much rocks?
Yeah.
So nothing really changed when water, which I'm going to say is heaven now, and the rocks, which I'm going to say earth is now. So heaven and earth met, but there was no real change, right? But what other things might change when they come together? Do you like bread?
Yes.
Ooh, you know what bread is? It's the coming together of wheat and water. And wheat and water is right here. If you want to touch it, smell it. The wheat and water. What happened?
It made flour,
right? Flour and water came together and they transformed into something else. To dough, right? The heaven and earth met and we have dough. And what happens if we bake this? We get bread, right? We get yummy, 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 tasty bread, right? So heaven and earth comes together into the dough, and you were born as dough, right? You're the stuff of earth, and then you're breathed into the life of God. God breathes into you life. So you're dough, and we can become bread. And we're baked. And that baking is this process of life and learning to come together in live with this unity that God has for us. So, yeah, we put it in and get soggy bread. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God. Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for living with us.
Thank you for living with us.
Amen. And you guys are now excuse the Sunday school.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Hear now the word. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the day that the Lord in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 19. It's found on page 4 of your bulletin. Please read it with me. We'll alternate verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day it tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, it comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to begin and begin again. Nothing is hidden from its earthly heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter are than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can enter one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Second reading today is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Hear now the word. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Passover was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple, and he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their table. Making a whip of cord, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins, the money changers, and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, a zeal for your house will consume me. The leaders then came to him and said, what sign can you show us for doing this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the leaders said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Christ. before I discovered surfing, I found kind of that same meaning in climbing mountains, backpacking, and hiking. And I presume all of us here have been on a high hike at some point. You looked out in the distance, and you see how truly big and vast the world is. Even these big cities that we live in, we think are so important, are so huge, are but just a speck in the distance. And it truly is something that you have to experience. No picture, no description, not even being in an airplane, even above that peak, can capture the experience of being vulnerable on a peak. As if two twin truths are coming together. The first is, of course, how small you are, how vulnerable, how big, how vast the world is. And you might think in that moment, I am completely insignificant. And yet, on that peak, something else seems to be. The world is so vast, it is so huge, and yet I am a part of that. I mean something. I have purpose and life. And this dance of these two realities is something I very desperately wanted to share with my family, have my children growing up with this experience. So we went out hiking all the time up to peaks. In 1 year, I decided to take my two boys up to out to Mount St. Helens to climb up that mountain to the top and to look at that crater and to have this experience of this twin truths coming to them. And so we did. It was early spring, so the mountain was still snow-covered and beautiful, and we spent 2 days down there, and on that final day, we were getting through all the snow and all the 8 hours of previous climbing past the false summit. There, almost in where you could see the top, and we were at the most steepest, most vulnerable part of the whole climb. And it was quite scary being up there with that exposure. And my littlest one, of course, he's now like right here, but back then he was like right here, turned to me and said, "Hey, Dad, what happens if at this moment there's an avalanche?" And like me, always being one for blunt, honest truths, I turned to him, I said, "Well, if at this moment there's an avalanche at 8,000 feet with like 8 or 10 hours before a rescuer can get to us, we're probably dead." And I saw kind of the panic kind of set into his little face, and I realized, well, maybe sometimes brutal truth needs some explanation. So I said, "Look, man, I'm trained in avalanches. There's no sign that there's an avalanche right now. We got the appropriate equipment. There's nothing that indicates that we're any more dangerous than anyone else would be out in the wild like this. But, buddy, whether we turn around now or go on, if the avalanche were to happen at this moment, whether we're going up or going down, the results would be the same. So why don't we finish?" And he said, "Yeah, okay, let's do that." And so we pushed through to the top. There, of course, at that top, at that 8,000 foot, you're practically in the clouds, the whole world before you. So small, so vulnerable. And yet, I turned to him and I said, "Look, you've now done something that the vast majority of the population of this world will never get to do. Even the any given year, they only hand out like 1,000 permits to climb this mountain. You're so amazingly awesome that you did this. So vulnerable and yet so amazing. These are the two truths of climbing a mountain." And so it's no wonder in Scripture that climbing the mountain becomes a powerful image of the presence of God. Almost every religious tradition talks about climbing the mountain as a symbol. And not only climbing the mountain as a symbol, but temples, that symbol of that place of heaven and earth, are almost always depicted as being on mountains. Because there is that symbol, heaven and earth coming together. On that peak, you are as close to heaven as you can possibly be while your feet are still on the ground. It's a symbol of unity. And of course, we don't think that heaven is the sky. Right? Even the ancients understood that heaven is not the sky, but we're dealing with the symbols here. We always go up to higher truths, right? We have a higher learning. It's a symbol, not because that school is built on a mountain, but because we go up to the principles and purpose and higher meaning. We ascend up. And so temples are on mountains because mountains are the symbol of the unity, that place where heaven and earth come together. And that is the framework to understand this story of Jesus. Jesus goes up to Mount Zion, where the temple is built. And I know it's more like a hill than a mountain, but remember, it's a symbolic world here. To climb up, to ascend up to the temple, to be in the place where heaven and earth meets with the people. And so the first action of Jesus in John's gospel, the first public action, is to go up to the temple. And there, Jesus enacts the scene of restoring it to its proper purpose. It seems this unity of heaven and earth has been lost amidst the marketplace of what such an institution has to put on in order to function. And so the first thing he does is a thing of reform, a thing of going back to what this really means. So to get to this text, we have to understand a few movements. The first movement is a movement of restoration. We have to restore the symbol. The symbol is heaven and earth coming together here. And once that symbol is restored, then Jesus makes a second movement. And that is this temple, this place where heaven and earth meet, points to who I am as the Christ, as the Messiah who comes. And Jesus is that ultimate place of heaven and earth coming together. True man, true God, as we would say. That person in whom all things are united. The person that brings unity. And of course, our gospel writer flat out tells us, he is speaking about his own body. For in Christ Jesus is the fullness of both us and the divine coming together. And we are told that the zeal for the Lord's house will consume him. And that is where our story is. That everything that separates us from God, everything that separates us from having this unity with God, is what will consume Jesus on the cross. And he will die by those powers in order to defeat them, so that this unity with God in us may be fully realized. And so that's our third movement to understand this story. The third movement is to understand that we are in Christ Jesus. Or maybe more importantly, Christ is in you, your hope of glory. And so that makes you a sacred place of encounter between the divine and the human. We were born with this unity. We were born as people of dust, breathed in life of God. So at birth, you were this holy temple. And yet, this temple has been marred by all the abuses of sin and death and disease and wickedness in the world. And we need to be restored back to who we are. And that is what Christ does. This story of Christ's first cleansing of the temple is a story of our journey in Christ. From what we were, what we've been lost, to being restored back to this perfect union. And so, friends, let's look at this vision. Once we see what's going on, let's look at this beautiful vision. It is not as often is said that we tend to hear this text as Jesus good, temple bad. But if we get that, we've missed the whole point of it. The whole point is Jesus comes and restores the temple. Because that temple is an image of who we are. And so now we can say, yes, we can look out and see that not just we are holy, not just the place is holy, but we are all holy. And somehow this dedication we have of this love of sacred sites is good because it elevates who we are, that we are that sacred site. That we are invited now to see all of creation, each one of us, as precious and holy and good. And that's where the zeal comes in from, or to. What type of zeal do we have for places? And what if we took that zeal, that love for place, and saw each other as sacred and holy places? A place of encounter, a place to find the unity between heaven and earth. And that's why I think we have a sacred meal together. It's because we believe God is present here, because God is present everywhere. God is present in bread and wine the world over. So, of course, when we come together for this sacred meal, of course, Christ will still be in this bread and wine. And yet this meal itself also says something about all the other meals. That all the other meals that we ever eat are also holy and sacred. The sacred makes everything else. And our journey together is to see that we are all sacred. And as we journey in Lent, knowing that this is why Christ came, to make us all holy. Amen.
Amen.
I rejoice the day your word abides.
trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things. Let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. You alone are God. We thank you for the gift of Sabbath rest. Awaken the church to the mystery of your presence and give us glad hearts as we receive the good news of your deliverance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You renew creation. Drive out those who would make the earth a marketplace. Protect rainforests, mountaintops, oceans, and wilderness areas from commercial exploitation. Unite nations, policymakers, and businesses in efforts to reduce carbon emissions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You judge the nations. We pray for an end to war and strife in every land. Strengthen international efforts to negotiate peace and provide humanitarian aid to people fleeing from conflict. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You bring healing and hope. We give thanks for physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and public health workers who prevent and treat illness. We pray for any who are sick, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Madeline, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Helen, Olga, Judy, Brandy, Daylight, Janice, Michael, Eric, Corey, Laura, Sylvia, the family of Janice Foley, victims of the war in Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war, earthquake victims in Morocco, St. Timothy Church, and recovery efforts in Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You abide with your people. Sustain any in this community undergoing life transitions, marriage, divorce, childbirth, adoption, moving, graduation, employment change, or a death in the family. We pray for those preparing for baptism. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You bring life from death. We remember our loved ones who have died, confident that they have new life in you. May we trust that nothing can separate us from your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayer of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. And now we have I'd like to invite all of our newly elected council members forward as we install them as members here. And some of us are not, some of them are downstairs, some of them are not here, but please come forward. We have Peter Kraft, Tammy Johnson, Patty Fox, Peggy Gilman, Jeanette Agri, Sarah Black, Rhonda Harmon, Marion Brown, Dan Moore, Tammy Johnson, Susan Painter, Randy Gilman, and Sally Jennings. And Sally is downstairs. The following people have been elected by the congregation to positions of leadership on the church council. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in the common life and our mutual ministry as a congregation. So we have a reading from 1 Corinthians. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so, council members, I ask you, on behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, please respond with, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
People of God, will you support these, your elected leaders? And will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, please respond. We will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
I now declare you installed as officers and council members of this congregation. May Almighty God bless you and direct your days and deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. We invite us all to stand now as we sing our offering.
Come on.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts which we receive from your bounty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You called your people to cleanse their hearts and be prepared with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gifts of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and life. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servants to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
St. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the table of God for the gifts of God, and all are welcome to come forward for this table. In just a moment, the ushers will come, and we ask that you fill in the rail from right to left, and you may receive the sacrament either standing or kneeling in whatever manner is most comfortable to you. Come with your hand extended, and the element will be put in your hand, and then you will reach in and either take the clear liquid, which is grape juice, or the dark liquid, which is wine. But know that all are welcomed here, and all means all. And this table will be given to all who come. And if you wish to only come for a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know that this is for all. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, at this table we have tasted your immeasurable grace. As grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, now make us one loaf to feed the world. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life.
Amen.
And we pause just a moment for some announcements. And I got a few, and Pete will be coming forward to make one. But this is the last month of our bejeweled drive. So we have jewelry that you'd like to donate. This is the last month we'll be collecting it. And then also we are preparing to give our $50 gift certificates to the people at Samaritan House for Easter so that they can have food and an Easter feast. So if you'd like to participate in that, we are collecting donations for that. Now looking forward at the week, we got a bunch of things going on in this next week. Highlighting our, on Wednesday, we continue in Lent with our soup meals at 6, followed by Holden evening prayer at 7, so you are always invited to come at 6 for soup, stay at 7 for Holden prayers, or show up at 7 for just the prayers, or even we will allow you to show up at 6 and leave at 7. All are welcome to participate in that. And then on a special note, on Saturday night, at 11 o'clock, we will be having the memorial service for Shannon White here. And after service, there will be a potluck downstairs that you're asking for people to bring a dessert or a salad for that night. If you'd like to help us on the night too, we are looking for some people to help us. So you can see Marion for that. And if you can't make it, but you'd like to drop off something for the potluck, you can do that also. You are more than welcome to do that. And with that being said, I invite Pete forward for a message.
Well, with all this talk we've had this morning about destroying the temple, I wanted to give you some signs of safety that we have here and let you know that we do have a fire extinguisher up here in front that's kind of around behind the door right there. I wanted to let you know where these things are here just in case. There's one in the kitchenette and there's one out by the water fountains out there. So if something like that should happen, everybody should be aware of where they are. And I don't know how many of you know that we have an AED here also, if we should ever need it. We found out, in fact, it happened to Beverly's brother up in Marysville. And during church service, and they needed the AED and somebody had moved it. Fortunately, everything turned out okay. But our AED is in the little kitchenette now. So if anybody ever should, God forbid, go down, and we need something, you know, that's right there in the kitchenette. And I plan on having some classes on how to use that. So I'll let you know when that's going to happen. But everybody should be aware of where those things are. So if we do need something like that, everybody knows where they should go when somebody's hollering. Get the extinguisher, get the AED, you'll be able to do that. Thanks.
Let us prepare our hearts now for the benediction. Beloveds, we are God's own people, holy, washed, renewed. May God bless you and keep you, shower with you with mercy, and fill you with courage and peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you seen them?